for almost 1800 years ago or more, they had every single technology that they needed in order to have an industrial revolution like we had in the 1800s. But it never came to fruition. And so the question becomes, well, why? Hello, and welcome to the Forbidden Knowledge Podcast. My name is Nathaniel Hoitmacher, and I will be your host. Today, we're going to be getting into the meat and the potatoes of what I've been talking about over the last couple episodes here, and we're actually going to dive into the heart of the material, so to speak. This is episode 2 of season 1, and I would highly suggest that for those of you who are just coming in now, to go back to listen to episodes 0 and episode 1. Episode 0 is mainly about what to expect from the podcast as a whole and how it'll be broken up into different seasons and things of this nature. And then episode 1 is an outline of what this season is, which this season is having to do with the initiate's journey. And how all the things that they have to do before they even begin to go into the initiation rites. So, without further ado, let's begin. In episode 1, I spoke of the 7 core things that every mystery group tradition, every initiate tradition had their aspiring neophytes go into. And one of the things that this was is that they would not even take somebody who would be what we consider today an atheist, meaning they did not believe in a higher power in any way, shape, or form. This was considered to be an absolutely necessary first requirement by every single group that there was in the world. Now, your conception of God might be very different from another group's or whatever the deal is and whatnot, but to believe that you were the highest power, to believe that you were the arbiter of truth, to believe that there weren't things that existed outside of yourself that were governing dynamics of your life that were above what you could control, was seen as the highest delusion that someone could possibly have. And in order to be an initiate, you needed to be humble enough to admit that you did not know everything that there was to know, so that way they could go and teach you how to think, how to make it so that way you could be honest with yourself, how to make it so that way you could, live in the present moment and do all these other things that were necessary in order to even go on the journey to begin with. So we're going to go into the reasons why that's the case and why anybody who believes that humanity is the highest power that there is ultimately incorrect. Now, this is not about religion that I'll be talking about here. This is going to be looking at this from a more of a scientific perspective of things today and more in the left brain modality, because the whole point is that it's to make it so that way people who believe in certain things that they're just not accurate. And there's multitude of reasons for this. I mean, the very first reason is that if you think that you're the sole arbiter of truth, then go ahead and try to change the laws of physics. Of course, no one can. We can influence, we can use sub-laws to do things that seem perhaps counterintuitive or magical or whatever at one point or another in time periods, but we've never been able to actually break the laws of reality because they're the laws of reality. Now, you might believe that these laws of reality are completely accidental and that there is no grand design behind things with it. And that's fine. That's not necessarily a problem, at least in the beginning stages of this journey, because that's not what a requirement that you have to believe in, say, a personal God or anything like that. The whole point is that you have to be humble enough to admit that there are other things out there that you cannot control, that are higher than you, that you need to make it so that way you understand and really penetrate the depth of that you are not the sole arbiter of truth. You are not the highest being that there is. Humanity is not the highest being that there is. And that we need to make it so that way we're very clear on this particular point. Now, you might be saying, okay, sure, physical laws, sure, they exist, and that just has to do with physics, and that could be to where it's just a whole basically a whole accident occurred, a cosmic accident that we're all just here because of that. Okay. You can take that approach, but there are other laws that are unseen laws that are harder to see than a pen, my pen falling onto the desk there and whatnot that we can't necessarily see directly, but we can understand intuitively that those laws make sense for it. A very basic example of this is you cannot have a society that is set up in such a way that the general populace believes that murdering other people within their society is a good idea, and the vast majority of them actually partake in that system. The society cannot sustain itself. It will literally destroy itself because if everybody's murdering everybody for what's going on, everybody's dead. Therefore, there are certain rules and conditions that are necessary in order for a society to flourish and survive. This is should be obvious. This is all that we're talking about here when I'm talking about that there are higher powers than you that do exist, that there are higher levels of existence for understanding of things with it. If we claim that we want more peace, we want prosperity, we want security, we want abundance, we want whatever it is that we claim that we want, then clearly, either we as human beings do not have all of that, either in part or in whole. Otherwise, we wouldn't claim that we desire these things. We would just already have them. But because we do not have them, and because we claim that we want these things, it should be very clear that the conditions in which these things need to, the conditions that are necessary for these things to come about, excuse me, are not present, or at least not present in full. So, why do we claim that we want these things that we do not have if we don't believe that we can actually go and get to these things in some capacity or another? Which, of course, we can, but we need to follow some of these underlying governing dynamics that have everything to do with the world around us and the conditional requirements that there are to bring about certain things. A perfect historical, excuse me, example of this is that in the time of the Roman Empire, I don't remember exactly when it was that they had all the technology that was available since the Roman Empire was around for hundreds of years, but for almost 1800 years ago or more, they had every single technology that they needed in order to have an industrial revolution like we had in the 1800s. But it never came to fruition. And so the question becomes, well, why wasn't there an industrial revolution that began in the Roman Empire over 1,000 years before the actual time period of when the Industrial Revolution occurred that we know happened. Well, there were certain conditions that were not met. One of the major conditions that was not met was that they believed in slavery and that they had slaves, and this was completely permeated throughout their entire culture, and no one, for the most part, batted an eye that slavery existed. I mean, there were even people who were in locations of the Roman Empire, such as Aristotle. He was before the Roman Empire had conquered Greece and whatnot. But even he, who was a philosopher, believed that slavery was necessary because he could not conceive of a way to make it so that way he could do his philosophizing without slavery. This is how embedded it was into the society that even great thinkers like Aristotle thought that, oh, well, this is just the way that it is, and it's necessary in order for things to happen the way that they do. Which, of course, we know better now, and that this was never a good idea, and that it's morally wrong, and all these other things that came about with it. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, because we're talking about governing dynamics, we're talking about a higher power, we're talking about people who, believe that there aren't certain things that need to be done with it, that, there's the truth is subjective rather than objective, which is just patently false. And the reason why that's them bringing up slavery is because if you have slaves and your entire industry is built around having people as the source of your energy and power, and that you don't want to devalue your quote unquote property because of what they believed, which to be true about the time period and whatnot, then you have zero incentive in order to go and build machines that are going to disrupt this particular way of thinking. And of course, what we see is that after huge segments of the world begin to get rid of slavery, outward slavery and people that were in bondage and that kind of thing, it doesn't matter what part of the world it was, they started to make it so that way things started to change for them. We see this happen with the Industrial Revolution. Things started to become better for them and their life conditions improved. And of course, as more and more people renounce the idea of slavery, look at what's happened to our planet in terms of an explosion of technological advancement. The amount of it is insane because we're no longer making it so that way we had the conditions that were improper in place to allow such a technological progress to begin with. We had made a morally correct decision that made a society better by removing that and made it so that way we have a better society on a technological level. Now, we are abusing this technology currently because we haven't changed the character of humanity, hasn't changed all that much. In comparison to the level of the technological advancement that humanity has had. And so we need to play catch up with this, which is partly what this podcast is about, is to make it so that way we can start changing ourselves, which are the only people that we have the right to change and whatnot, in order to make a better world around us. Because it's the principle of as within, so without type deal. And so this was the reasons for why every mystery school tradition, every initiation group required that you believe in a higher power. It was to make it so that way you'd be humble enough to realize that you don't know everything, that there were things that were outside of your control, and that you needed to learn how to bridge the gap between the things that you say that you want and the things that you claim that you don't want in your life. Nobody wants chaos, death, destruction for themselves and their loved ones. And so, if you don't want these things and instead you want security, you want peace, you want abundance, then you have to meet certain conditions in order to make that happen. And of course, this also means that you're going to have to change how you think, how you behave in the world, all these things that go along with that. And if someone believes that they are the highest power, that is, and that morality is subjective, that the laws of that govern the world are subjective rather than objective, then of course that makes it so that way they don't need to change. Why do I need to change? I already know everything. I already can do anything I want. I'm in charge of everything with it. I'm always right, type deal. And that's what the initiate has to go through. The initiate has to go through a process of admitting that they're wrong over and over and over again to themselves in order to find out what actually works and what doesn't work to make it so that way they can progress further into things with that. And, this is where we were talking about cognitive dissonance before. Someone who believes that they are the ones who, can control physics or control what happens in society or any of these other things, that they're just wrong. They cannot do that. You cannot, if you ask any of these people who believe this, okay, are you a billionaire? No, okay, well then according to you, you can just think you're a billionaire and you become a billionaire. No, that's not how that works. Okay. How about you go over this tall building here and walk off of it? Are you going to be able to make it so that way you don't fall to your death or injury? No. So that's the problem. There are things that you believe in that are outside of yourself that are you can't control that are higher than you. So nobody believes that there isn't something higher than themselves. You don't have to call it God. That's not what I'm talking about here. The point is that you have to be humble enough to realize that there are things that are outside of our control, and that there are things that we have zero say over. There are things we can influence too. And we'll talk more about this. There's things we have direct control over, there's things we have influence over, and there's things that we have zero control over. It is our job to learn what is what. That's what the initiate's job is. That's what people have to do in order to make it so they can progress further in life and existence for what's going on. And so I know that this sounds like, well, you're just beating a dead horse, repeating things over and over in a different way. Yes, I am in a way, but I'm doing that on purpose because sometimes the message needs to get through in different ways to different people, and that I don't know who's going to be listening to this podcast and what's going to be best for them in order to understand the lessons that I'm trying to distill and impart to them and whatnot that have been passed down for thousands upon thousands of years, lost to time before civilization even began, and record keeping even began for some of these things. And so I'm going to talk about a story, and the story is my own rendition of. And it's a more condensed version of a story that has to do with Buddha, and it has to do with God, basically, and understanding of it. And why you'll understand why I'm bringing this up after I tell the story, and the importance of the message behind the story, regardless of whether the story is true or not. That's not the point of the story. So, Buddha was in a crowd, waiting for people to come and see him and whatnot. He had one of his attendants named Ananda that was with him all day and making sure that Buddha's needs were taken care of so that way he could answer these various different people's questions that were coming to see him. At one point, this man who was a God-fearing man who believed in Rama, who is an incarnation of the Hindu god Vishnu, asked Buddha whether God existed or not. And Buddha responded, "No, absolutely not," this person. The person was upset, of course, hearing this because his entire life had been devoted to the Lord Rama and made it so that way they went on with their day and didn't know what to think of it and just, had. Surely they must be mistaken because Buddha, the enlightened one, would know better than they did. And so the day goes on, and eventually somebody else pops up asking the same question to Buddha, which Buddha is normally silent on this topic, by the way. He doesn't really talk about God too much. And one way or another, meaning like he doesn't mention yes or no and all that. Anyway, another person comes up, and this person did not believe in any higher powers. Do not believe in the gods or in anything like that. And he had gone and made it so that way he was telling others that, you know, a lot of these beings, they don't even exist, etc., for a good portion of his life. And so he comes up to the Buddha and asks the Buddha whether God exists or not. And to him, Buddha gives a contradictory answer that he did before and says, yes, absolutely, God exists. Finally, by the end, nearing the end of the day, a third person walks up to Buddha and they ask whether God exists or not. This time, Buddha would remain silent, did not answer the question in any way, shape, or form. The person that had asked this question stared at Buddha for a long time and then eventually said, thank you. You're the only person to have ever been able to answer that question for me. I truly appreciate it. And then walked off. Whatever had transpired between the man that had asked that question and Buddha, no one knows for certain, of course, but I will give you my take on it here in a moment. And so everybody's done now asking Buddha. Buddha's retiring for the rest of the day. His attendant, Ananda, is still with him. And Ananda asks Buddha a question. And Ananda says, Lord Buddha, I do not understand. One moment you're saying God exists to one person, and another moment you're saying God does not exist to this other person, and a third time you do not even answer the person's question when the person did it, when the person asked it, excuse me. And Buddha replied, has nothing to do with whether or not God exists. It had everything to do with the person and what they needed to hear in order to progress on their own journey. The God-fearing man put too much faith into God and never did anything that was for himself and made it so that way he never began exploring the mysteries of the universe and understanding themselves and had their place in it. They just put faith that God would take care of everything for them. The atheist had the exact opposite problem. He put too much on himself, thought he was the only one that, you know, that knew everything that was going on and understood everything with it, and he was not humble enough and too prideful in himself to make it so that way he would begin the journey again to understanding himself and his place in the universe. Finally, when it came to the third person, I didn't have to say anything, Buddha said. The man was actively trying to seek out the answers for what was going on for himself. And I didn't have to say anything to him because he needed to find out the answers for himself, and that is why he walked away satisfied, knowing that he was on the correct path to being humble enough to want to take the journey in order to discover more truths, but also realizing that he did not know whether everything that he was doing was correct or not to come and ask me for that, but ultimately that he had to take the journey himself and that nobody else could take it for him. And so this is what the story is about, and this is why it is important to do things with it. If you fall into an unbalanced worldview, such as blindly following God and thinking everything is predetermined and that there's nothing you can do anyway, there's problems. And if you think that you know everything and that you only do stuff on your own steam and that there's nothing more to the universe and that, you know, you don't even try to look your place into it and you just exist, there's also problems with that. But if you are an adamant seeker of truth, and if you are willing to take the journey yourself and are willing to try to discover what is going on in the world, answer the questions for yourself, and not be dissuaded from things just because of what life throws at you, and continuously work towards understanding the core truth of the matter of whatever it is that you're working on, then of course you're on the right path and there's nothing more that needs to be said. You just need to continue going it. Buddha also said that there's only two mistakes on the road to truth. One is not starting, which is what happened with the first two people that I brought up in this example of the story that I did. And the second one is not going all the way. So this is why the initiate's journey, you have to be humble enough to admit that there are things that are outside of your control, that you don't know, and that the only way to actively get the answers that you're seeking about yourself, about your place in it, your purpose, if there's any meaning to life, all these other things that a lot of people ask, how to make it so that way you're happy, all these things are that you have to take the journey yourself. You have to be willing to undertake that journey. You have to try to discover these core governing dynamics that I've begun to speak on here. And you have to make it so that way you are humble enough to realize that you don't have all the answers, and that you aren't the sole arbiter of truth, and that anybody who does not have that particular level of thinking involved with it is ultimately doomed to fail their quest to begin with and will never go all the way to discovering the truth for themselves. And this is why the mystery schools, the ancient mystery school traditions, did not allow anybody who was what we would call today an atheist, they didn't necessarily use that term back then, to progress any further with it. Because they also viewed it as, why would I teach the sacredness to the profane in their minds? You're someone who doesn't even care about anything outside of the physical world, and you think that that's all that there is. Well, good luck to you on that, which of course is absurd. Even today, we should be able to recognize there's other things other than the physical world. And I don't mean that, there has to be like higher dimensions or lower dimensions or anything like that. I'm talking about there's other parts to ourselves besides just the physical aspect. There's our emotions, and there is our mind, and all of these things that are there that make up our consciousness that is our unseen things again. But we know we have them. We can experience the emotions. We can experience the thoughts that we've had and continue to have. And so, because of that, we know that they exist. That's just the way that things are. So, if you're not even willing to try to seek out the unseen, like these governing dynamics of if you have a society that is based upon killing people and whatnot, that obviously you can figure out logically that that's going to end in disaster where everybody's going to end up dead. And if you don't change your ways on that, and that it's anti-life, then of course you can't build a society properly. This is why all societies taught their people to make it so that way they don't go around killing people. It'd been just figured out a long time ago that the idea of if almost everybody, or if not everybody, is going around killing people, it happens that it's a bad idea. The society cannot function that way. And then, of course, we also eventually figured out, as a species as a whole in general, that slavery is bad, and that we shouldn't have that anymore, and that's not doing anything. And we progressed, obviously, a lot with that. Now, obviously, we have a lot of problems with our society today, and we'll go into some of the reasons behind that at some point on this show. But right now, we're just focusing on the initiate's journey and how things play out with that. So I'm just using examples that help summarize these ideas. And I hope that you have found the story that I had done, which is my own rendition of it. There's other variations of it, of course. Useful, and that point of Buddha and him talking and getting it across is what it is. And just to be clear, I'm not Buddhist in any way, shape, or form. I'm just using a rendition of it because these were things that Buddha would have talked about at some point, or could have talked about at some point. And that I hope that the various different ways of me trying to explain how there are higher powers, no matter what, that we and other governing dynamics that we don't have any control over has made sense, and that things that we see in the world may not be our nature, but might be conditional, and that the reason why we don't have peace and prosperity and security to the level and abundance that we would like to have and all of that, to the level that we all claim that we want, or at least the vast majority of humanity claims that they want, is because we haven't learned the governing dynamics as a whole to what allows that to happen. This is why we also have to search more for these things, and that's what the whole initiate's journey is about, is that whatever path you want to take, whatever you want to do in your life, whatever you need to, whatever goals you have and dreams that you want to accomplish and aspirations that you have, they're all going to have certain conditions that are necessary in order for them to be met. And because of that, we all have to take the journey called life, and we all need to make it so that way we aren't delusional in our thinking and thinking that we are the ones that dictate what happens in life, and that we're also not the ones who just take life for granted and think everything's determined either, and to make it so that way we're actively seeking truth, aka whatever the facts are of a particular situation, and that this is what is necessary to create the lives that we all want and claim that we all want. Thank you very much for your time. If this has been useful to you, please suggest the podcast to other people. Go to my website at forbiddenknowledge.org. Sign up for my email list where you'll get a free PDF that goes more into the details of this stuff. And I hope to make it so that way everybody is back in the next episode. Thank you very much.